So we're about a week away from this debt ceiling drama really kicking into high gear. June 1 is apparently the deadline for all this. Aaron Hedlund, chief economist, Show Me Institute, Missouri-based think tank, joining us on KCMO. First off, Aaron, how firm of a deadline do you believe this June 1 is?
The reality is we don't know precisely when the deadline is. I don't know if Treasury knows, they're just not saying it, or if they don't really know themselves. But we do know it's right around that time, and I think markets are going to get very jittery as we get close to June 1st.
Okay, so the other question that I get that I would love you to answer in a succinct manner, because that's what you do best, the difference between defaulting on debt and not raising the debt ceiling, and a government shutdown, which also has happened over the last 10 years or so. What are the differences between these two things? Which one's worse?
Definitely a big difference there. Government shutdowns happen, and they're not nearly as bad. Government shutdowns essentially are when the agencies no longer have authorization to spend more money. So things kind of temporarily shut down. Whereas the debt ceiling, that has to do with, is the government paying the bills that it owes? And if we've never not done that. So that's really the issue there. Debt ceiling is what we're talking about. Come fall, there'll be a whole another set of drama around whether we can have, whether we're going to have government shutdown or not.
Okay, so that would be the fall drama then after that. All right, so when you're looking at this issue then, the markets are getting spooked, it seems, because they don't know what's going to happen. If we do ultimately, if that day does come, and there is no raising of the debt ceiling, what happens?
Well, I think the immediate thing you would see is stock market would take a big hit, and you'd see a credit contraction start to occur. So it'd be harder for people to take out loans. Interest rates would go up. It would definitely create some chaos because it'd be the first time this sort of thing has happened. And the challenge, anytime a country basically goes into default, it's because investors get spooked that people are no longer willing to pay those bills, and things can kind of cascade from there. So that's why the consequences are very high here. No one likes the idea of more debt, but the reality is the government's spending way more than it's taking in, and there's no way we're going to be able to balance the budget tomorrow.
Yeah, that's not going to be happening. Okay, so then would it be a temporary, like, you know, two-day fall off a cliff, 5, 10, 15%, but then bounce back once they come to a deal? Because it's not like, even if June 1 comes and goes, they're going to come to a deal. We're going to, you know, increase the debt ceiling, right? So would the markets just react over a short term, or are there long term ramifications here as well? And if so, what are they?
I think it's sort of in between. I mean, people who are predicting a full on Great Depression, that to me seems a bit overblown. But I don't think it's something where, if they pass a deal 5 days later, everything goes back to normal, hunky-dory. There is a certain sense of crossing the Rubicon, because it basically would show that, well, if we're willing to cross it for 5 days, maybe next time we're willing to go past it for 2 weeks or a month, or at what point does it end? So I do think you'd see some medium-term effect.
Okay. Aaron Hedlund of the Show Me Institute, Missouri-based think tank, is joining us here on KCMO Talk Radio, 710 AM and 103.7 FM. So, Aaron, as you look at the next week, Republicans are basically saying, we want some more work requirements for those receiving benefits, whether it's food stamps, Medicaid, whatever it might be. We want to make sure that able-bodied adults are providing some kind of work and help in the labor force, right? And Joe Biden saying no. That's kind of what we're haggling over here.
Well, I think the big picture is that the House is recognizing that we're on an unsustainable spending path that's going to cause a debt crisis in the future. I mean, the White House has basically made it sound like, well, the only way to avoid a debt crisis now is to do nothing about our long-term picture, which means bigger problems down the road. The House is saying we need to deal with both. And part of that means capping spending and not having it grow as quickly as it's currently growing. Because basically, discretionary spending has jumped by 20% as a share of GDP, and the White House wants to lock that in permanently. And also, we need the economy to grow faster, and that's partly what work requirements are for.
But Republicans, I mean, they're really not playing as much hardball as Joe Biden and Democrats are making it seem. I mean, yes, they want less spending, but they still want more spending than what we can afford.
For sure. I think the House bill is very reasonable. It's not radical by any means. We're talking about slowing the growth of spending.
Yes.
Which D.C. always translates to stark cuts, but that's not what it is. It's slowing the growth of spending. We really, at some point, need a conversation about bigger spending reforms, but we need to make a down payment now to getting on a better trajectory, or else we're going to have worse and worse debt crises that are going to be harder to resolve.
Yeah, none of this is really a better trajectory. And in fairness, I think the Republicans are playing their hands here properly. They're not... They look like the moderate ones in all this. I mean, they're not going after some kind of big cut. This is very, very limited in terms of what they're looking at. I think they win this thing politically based on how it's gone thus far. But this is in no way going to alleviate the larger problem, right? This is a snapshot in time about very minor cuts that, frankly, aren't going to make a big dent in the problems that we have.
Right. This is really just a down payment on moving things in a more reasonable direction. The reality is we need to have a conversation nationwide about what size of government people want to have. And the issue is revenues are strong. The challenge is that government is overspending. So that gap needs to be resolved either by raising revenues, which I don't think would be good for the economy, or right-sizing government. And that's a big conversation.
Aaron Hedlund of the Show Me Institute. All right, Aaron, so what over the next week, what should people be watching? I mean, you know, most people aren't going to be involved in the nitty-gritty of what D.C. is doing and the infighting, but their 401ks, the markets. I mean, I had somebody come up to me at an event we had last week and say, hey, I took 50% of my money out of the stock market. That seems a little aggressive to me, but what do you think? How should people be viewing this?
Well, I hope I'm not being over-optimistic here, but I think at the end of the day, there's going to be a deal. I think both sides recognize the very negative consequences if there isn't one. I think the House has been willing to deal, and the White House for the longest time was the one saying, we refuse to negotiate, and then they eventually realized that's not sustainable. So I think we're going to get something, and if somehow I'm wrong and we don't, then we're definitely going to be in for some disruption.
All right, and then the people that did not take the money out of the markets will call Aaron Hedlund and be all ticked off at you. So I will let them get a hold of you for that, Aaron. No, I agree with you, and we always appreciate your time and your insight. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Aaron Hedlund with the show.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Institute.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.